Welcome to AM Best Audio.
In the wake of Hurricanes Helene and Milton, the insurance industry faces challenges in addressing the widespread losses caused by the storms. I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio, and I'm speaking today to Karen Clark, co-founder and CEO of Risk Modeler KCC. Karen, as always, a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you for having me, John.
So Karen, first of all, what do we know about insured losses from Hurricane Helene?
Well, first of all, John, what we know without a doubt is that the insured proportion of the total property damage from Helene is going to be relatively small. And of course, that's because most of the damage from Helene was from flooding, and actually most of it from inland flooding, as we know around Asheville and other areas in North Carolina. So Helene is actually a double tragedy. It's a tragedy, of course, because of all the people that were impacted from this inland flooding. But the second tragedy is that most of them are not insured. So the wind component of Helene is relatively small, and most of the damage is coming from the flooding.
Now, this was a Category 4 hurricane. Was it a typical Cat 4 storm?
Well, John, no storm is typical, of course. They all have their nuances. But I would say that Helene was very different from what we expect from a typical Category 4 hurricane, in the sense that when you have a Category 4 hurricane make landfall, obviously at the landfall location is where you're experiencing very intense winds and very high storm surge. And that is what happened with Helene, but the landfall point was a relatively sparsely populated area. So the damage around the landfall point was relatively small. And even within Florida, interestingly, most of the storm surge damage was further south, around the Tampa, St. Pete areas, and that part of the coastline. So even the storm surge damage was far away from the landfall point. And with respect to wind damage, interestingly, that is going to be higher in Georgia than in Florida. And again, this is a little bit unusual. You would expect most of the wind damage to be right along the coast. But there are a couple reasons for Georgia experiencing most of the wind damage. One, as I said before, the area of Florida being impacted was relatively sparsely populated. The storm stayed well to the east of Tallahassee, for example. But then it shot way up into Georgia, and hurricane force winds were still being experienced when Helene crossed the line into Georgia. And now what happened in Georgia is, first of all, you don't have the good building codes that you have in Florida. And notably, this is not coastal Georgia. So you would think even the better codes in Georgia would likely be along the coast. So we didn't have the strong building codes that we have in Florida. A lot of the properties in the most impacted towns in Georgia were old, relatively old homes. And we had a lot of saturation of the soil from the heavy rain. So there was a lot of tree damage, and that is trees falling onto homes, onto commercial structures. So there was enormous amount of wind damage in Georgia. And then, of course, as the storm moved on into South and North Carolina, the winds died down, but then you got the deluge of rainfall. And that's when you had the enormous amount of flooding. So most of the, not the insured part, but most of the property damage, again, from Helene will be well inland. And again, not what you expect from a typical Category 4 storm.
So then where does this stand relative to other hurricane events in terms of damage?
Well, this storm, in terms of the nature of the damage, not necessarily the exact amount of damage, is very reminiscent of Hurricane Harvey in 2017. Hurricane Harvey many people may have forgotten, but it also made landfall as a Category 4 storm around Corpus Christi, Texas. So again, a relatively sparsely populated area and very little damage because of the nature of the coastline there, i.e. not a highly populated area. But then as Harvey moved inland and became tropical, it dumped all of that rain on Houston. And it caused that enormous amount of flooding in the Houston area and around Houston. And so it was a very similar type of storm where the wind was the smallest component of the actual damage. And by far and away, the largest component was inland flooding. And that was not highly insured. I would say it was more insured. You had higher insurance penetration for flood in the Houston area than I believe you have in this North Carolina area. But the nature of the storm in terms of where and how it caused damage was similar to Helene.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
All right, we've got another hurricane to talk about, Karen. Hurricane Milton, just some absolutely shocking pictures coming out of the Tampa St. Pete area. I'm sure you're seeing those as well. What are we expecting in the way of damage?
Well, interestingly, John, Hurricane Milton is a more typical storm where most of the damage we're going to see from Milton will be the wind damage. So you're going to see a much higher proportion of insured to total damage from Milton. The good news about Milton is that even though when it was, 100 miles away from the coastline or maybe 200 miles away from the Florida coastline, it was a borderline Category 4, Category 5 storm. But the good news is it dissipated before it made landfall. So I believe it was only about 120, 125 mile an hour wind. So it was a Category 3 storm. So the winds weren't as high as they could have been, but of course, the winds were very spread out. So we had a very large area of Florida being impacted by high winds. And of course, the hurricane force winds went almost all the way across the state. So you see a lot of damage, almost equal type of damage on the east coast of Florida as the west coast, because it just went fairly fast across the state. So what you're going to see all along the track, not just at landfall, are large areas of not necessarily severe wind damage. So for example, again, Florida has very good building codes. You're not going to see, a lot of properties just structural damage directly from the wind. Of course, you will from tree damage. And you will see that from the tornadoes, by the way. I should preface that with there are areas where there were a lot of tornadoes touchdown where you will see significant amount of structural damage, predominantly south of the hurricane track. But there'll be also the insured loss is going to be an accumulation of a lot of low levels of wind damage. So roof damage, shingle damage, siding damage, and just so many properties were impacted across the state that's going to accumulate to a large loss. So the insured loss in Milton is certainly going to be multiples of what we saw with Helene.
Any idea of what the damage estimates will be from Milton?
Early on, the ranges were very large, 60 to 100 billion. And that's because Hurricane Milton could have been one of those, worst case scenarios if it would have maintained Category 4 or 5 strength, made a direct hit on Tampa. The insured losses could have been that high. Fortunately, the track of Milton was to the south of Tampa St. Pete, and hurricanes are typically right-handed. So most of the stronger winds will be on the right-hand side of the track. And so that as the track moves south, that was good news for Tampa. So we're not going to see losses on the order of 80, 90, insured losses of $100 billion. That isn't going to happen. But, you know, it will be more significant than Helene. And, you know, I still seen some ranges out there that are quite large and wide, and likely it'll be at the lower end of those large ranges.
Karen, how are the models evolving when it comes to Atlantic hurricanes?
Well, I can only speak for the KCC model, but there are a few things that we've implemented in our hurricane model over the past few years, which are very important to insurers. The first one, most importantly, is, of course, climate change. So you've probably heard the criticisms in the past with the hurricane models that, you know, we go back to 1900, we use a lot of historical data, which we have to because the frequency is so low. But of course, the hurricanes that happened, you know, back in the 1910s and 20s may not be representative of the nature of the hurricanes we're going to see today. And that's correct, because there's a high scientific consensus that hurricanes are getting more severe. So what KCC scientists have done to account for this is gone back to the historical data, and we've climate conditioned the parameters of all the historical hurricanes. So, for example, the Great Miami 1926 hurricane, what would its severity be if it made landfall today? What would Hugo be if it hit today? So we've climate conditioned the data before we generate our probability distributions to generate our stochastic event set. So insurers can be confident, you know, with the KCC hurricane model that it incorporates all of the climate change that we've seen to date. And interestingly, we've been able to get that approved by the Florida Commission on Hurricane Loss Projection Methodology. So regulators have also been accepting of the idea that we need to build climate change into the hurricane models. The second thing is excess litigation. Florida has been the poster child for social inflation, very large litigated claims after Irma, after Michael. We do see a mitigation of that since the recent legislation in Florida, but there is some remaining excess litigation. It's also spreading to other states. So we have seen that. Again, we have built that into our model. It has been approved by the Florida Commission on Hurricane Loss Projection Methodology. So those are a couple things we've built in recently that are very important. And then finally, what we're working on now is more emphasis on inland flood. Again, it's not highly insured, but we do know that hurricanes are becoming more wet. Okay, due to climate change, inland flooding is becoming more frequent and more severe. So even though a high proportion is not insured, these impacts are significant. They're also significant in saturating the soils, making it easier for tree damage to occur from lower level winds that otherwise might be the case without climate change. So these are kind of the latest advancements that we're building in currently are more impacts from the inland flood.
Well, I know you've got a busy couple of weeks ahead of you, Karen, so I appreciate the time today.
Oh, you're welcome. And again, thanks for having me, John.
That was Karen Clark, co-founder and CEO of Risk Modeler KCC. And I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.